The gatecrasher
or the host?
Who would you expect to be the one who pleased and honoured Jesus?
Surely not the gatecrasher.
Think about it with me for a moment. Gatecrashers are usually not welcome. Gatecrashers are the uninvited guests who are an intrusion upon what's going on. Gatecrashers are usually in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. They disturb, they disrupt, they even damage. No one is usually thankful for a gatecrasher. And gatecrashers are usually spoken about for all the wrong reasons. They're usually asked to leave, often in no uncertain terms. But a party or a dinner or a function doesn't happen without the host. The host are the ones who foot the bill. The host are the ones who put things together. The host are the ones who invite people to be there. And the hosts are the ones who make sure that things are going according to plan and that everyone is being looked after. The host is typically in the spotlight in a positive way. The host is usually who people are thankful for. And the host is usually spoken of for all the right reasons. But Jesus' response to this woman who gatecrashes a dinner hosted by Simon the Pharisee is not what anyone expected. We hear it read and we look back on it rather than it actually unfolding before us. And so sometimes in that we can miss the full sense of how this does not go as expected. Instead of Jesus affirming Simon the host and affirming that Simon the host has honoured him, Jesus indicates instead that this gatecrasher woman, who's not even named and is described simply as a woman who had lived a sinful life, she has honoured him. How can this be? Why is this so? How can Jesus be pleased and honoured by this gatecrasher woman, and not just any gatecrasher woman, but one who's lived a sinful life, one who outwardly didn't seem to tick any of the boxes that God was looking for? Yet Jesus be displeased and feel dishonoured by Simon, who outwardly seemed to tick all of the boxes of what God would be looking for. How can this be? Jesus puts the spotlight on how we can't honour God in a way that pleases him unless it's from the heart. Simon may have been ticking boxes outwardly, but it was this gatecrasher woman who had lived a sinful life who came up trumps when it came to the heart. As we wrap up our series today on honouring God in everyday life, and we've been looking at quite a lot of different areas of life in which we are called to honour God in, we finish with the heart of the matter, which is my heart in it? Because it does not matter what we do to honour God in any or many areas of life. We can, if our heart is not in it, we can tick all the boxes on the outside, but it's the heart that really matters in God's eyes. God doesn't put a tape measure around how much we know. God doesn't put a tape measure around how much we show, but God puts a tape measure around our heart. And that passage or that verse of David and in the Old Testament, when God says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read the selection of someone that was going to fill a role for God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we read in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, he said, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And nothing's changed. Nothing had changed from back then in the Old Testament to when Jesus was on earth, and nothing has changed still today. And it's in this story from Luke chapter 7 that we can discover, glean a little bit more of how honouring God involves the state of our heart. So let's pick up on verse 36, and let me just read again, as Trevor did to us, but let me just read again from verse 36 through to verse 39. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, she kissed them, and she poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Now, it's pretty clear, and right from the start here, that this woman who gatecrashed the dinner is a broken woman. She's described in a way that indicates her brokenness as a sinner or having lived a sinful life. But it's the way that she goes about responding to Jesus that really shows her own awareness of her brokenness. We read that she's weeping and tears are flowing. And this is not just a little teardrop in the side of her eye. The word in the original language that's translated as wet, when it says that she began to wet Jesus' feet with her tears, is a word that was often used to describe rain showers. So it's not just one or two drops. There's a whole lot of tears flowing here. She knew that she didn't have it all together. And she came to Jesus with a heart that recognized that. She didn't come to Jesus with a heart that tried to cover over her brokenness. She didn't come to Jesus with a heart that tried to conform outwardly to being seen to have it all together. In contrast, Simon the Pharisee thought that he was pretty all right. He was doing pretty okay. After all, compared to her, and for him it was about comparison, compared to her, he was someone who people looked up to instead of looking down at. And he was someone who was more focused on pointing out what was broken in the lives of others than on pinpointing what was broken in his own heart. The key that unlocks the door to honouring God in our everyday lives is not so much committing fewer sins, because we're all sinners and we all continue to sin, but the key is recognising more and more how much of a sinner I am before God. That's what this woman did, and it's what Simon didn't do. Paul, later on in the New Testament, was someone who had once been like Simon, a Pharisee himself. But he had had his heart, he'd done outwardly all the things that he thought were going to please God. But his heart, he came to the place where he came to discover Jesus. And his heart was changed by the grace of God and the forgiveness of Jesus. And he came to the place of recognizing how broken he was and how far short he fell of God's best. And here it is in 1 Timothy chapter 15. This is what Paul says. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." This is Paul. This is a man who wrote much of the New Testament, and he's recognizing that he didn't have it all together. In fact, far from it. He's the worst of all sinners in his own heart. The further that Paul went on his journey of finding and following Jesus, the more self-aware he became about all that he wasn't, rather than self-righteous about all that he was. That's the critical thing in God's eyes, to be more self-aware about all that we're not, rather than self-righteous about all that we are. C.S. Lewis put it like this. He said, "The closer you get to the light, the more dirt you see on your shirt." The closer you get to the light, the more dirt you see on your shirt. Why is it then that we try to cover over our brokenness and flaws? Before God or before others? We're all broken people. None of us have it all together. And we honour God more by admitting that and allowing God to be at work in the midst of our brokenness than by avoiding our brokenness or assuming that we're better than others or worse than others and comparing ourselves to others. The story's told of two pots that were used to carry water. And one of those pots seemed perfect and without flaw, and it always delivered a full portion of water. The other pot was a cracked pot, not a crack pot, but a cracked pot. But it always only delivered half of what it could, half a portion of water. But the water that came out of the flawed pot, as it was carried along the side of the path, instead of that water going to waste, that water actually ended up watering the flowers that were planted there, which led to growth and to beauty. Flaws and brokenness in our lives, God can use them to water the seeds of his work in our hearts and in our lives, out of which growth and beauty and transformation can come. So we honour God through a heart that's broken. But we also honour God as we bring something from the heart that's significant before him. God doesn't want us to just bring conformity out of duty. He doesn't call us to do things just for the sake of doing them. He calls us to bring things from the heart. And here in this woman, it tells us in verse 37 and 38 that she came to Jesus with an alabaster jar of perfume. And it tells us a bit about what happened. She stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. So this alabaster jar of perfume... it's got nothing to do with the alabasters, but for Jewish women, their alabaster jar of perfume was the most precious thing they had. They would wear this around their necks on a necklace like a prized piece of jewelry. And it was saved for very special occasions and for very special people. And even then, it was only used sparingly. But this woman... didn't just bring a few trickles of this perfume to Jesus. It tells us that she poured perfume. She poured it out. She wasn't just paying lip service to Jesus. No, she was bringing something from the heart, and she was bringing something significant from the heart. Simon, though, he'd invited Jesus to his house. He was hosting Jesus, but he actually... In reality, when we look a bit closer and understand a bit more about this, he actually was only really paying lip service to Jesus. He hadn't honoured Jesus in the ways that were expected, let alone going beyond that. Because hosts in the Jewish culture of the day, when someone came to their home, they were expected to show honour to someone by doing three things. They would provide water for their feet to be washed, because it would be dusty and dirty, the roads out, the paths outside, and so they would provide water for their feet to be washed. They would greet them with a welcoming kiss, and they would provide put some fragranced oil on their heads like a refresher, the equivalent of a modern day refresher towel from KFC. Not quite the same, but but you get. You get the point. They actually did something. They actually went out of their way when people arrived to show honour to them. But as Jesus says here in verse 44 to 46, you didn't do any of these things for me. Jesus says in verse 44, he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Simon had only paid lip service to Jesus. His heart hadn't really been in what he was doing, or he would have done these things. Lip service is not the kind of response that honours God. You know, we can sing songs about God. We can do things for God. But if they're not from the heart, and if they're not things that are significantly from the heart, then we're missing the point. God's word is intended to function like a mirror in our lives. We look into it and we see ourselves for who we are. But if we're not careful, what we do, and this is what Simon the Pharisee had fallen into the trap of doing, and we can do it too, we use God's word as more of a window than a mirror. We use it to look out and across at others instead of looking at a reflection of ourselves. As we wrap up, I want to give the opportunity for all of us to use God's word as not as a window, but as a mirror, as we reflect prayerfully on this story of Jesus, Simon, and the woman. Two questions for each of us as we do this. Who am I more like in this story? Uncomfortable question. Who am I more like in this story? Simon or the unnamed woman? Is there a greater sense in my heart of being broken? Or is there a greater sense of my heart, if we're honest, of I'm doing okay? I'm at a pretty good place, and I'm actually doing better than others. Is there a greater sense in my heart of my heart being in all that I do and bring before Jesus, or of just doing it because we just do it for the sake of it? God's Spirit wants to speak to us, just as Jesus did before those that were gathered here when this story originally unfolded. But there's a second important question. Who is this Jesus? Because those who were gathered around saw and heard what happened, as they saw what happened, as they heard what happened, they came to ask that question like never before. Who is this Jesus? Why? Why did they ask that question? Because they realized that Jesus was able to do what no one else but God could do. He was able to forgive sins and transform hearts and lives. And the story concludes with that when Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you," in verse 47, "her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" So we're going to take some space and time before we sing our closing song to reflect, each of us, heart to heart with God, on those two questions. Who Jesus really is and what that means for our life in response to him. Because it's only as we come to the place of finding Jesus to be all that he really is that we find life and life to the full. And who am I more like in this story? Is Jesus someone that I've come to discover for all that he is? And if I have, who am I more like in this story? If I haven't, what steps do I need to take to discover Jesus for who he really is? So Joe's just going to come and just play quietly for a few minutes as each of us prayerfully consider those questions, heart-to-heart time with God, we could say. Just allow his Spirit to speak into your heart and life and let God's word function as a mirror in my life and in your life as we reflect on that story together. Jesus, the woman, and Simon. Who am I more like? What attitudes in me? What change in my heart needs to happen? My own brokenness. My own sense of need for Jesus. Jesus.